The historical advantage that Christianity have is unlike that of any other world religious system.
Dr. Paul Meyer speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Are we dealing with history here? I do believe. This is not some special mythology invented, but part and parcel of the ancient world. No question about that. There is no religion on earth like Christianity, which is easier to defend on a historical basis. There it is.
You can listen to Dr. Meyer's entire presentation, Making the Case for the Historicity of Christianity, and teachings by Will Wheaton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, Molly Hemingway, and David Menton on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the audio DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
The moment you get asked the question on secular media in particular, what do you think about homosexuality or what do you think about gay marriage, you're going to lose people. You're either going to lose people on the one side or you're going to lose your constituency on the other side. And if you say nothing, you lose everybody.
That's Brian Houston. He is senior pastor of Hillsong Church in, I'm just going to say Australia because the church has so many satellites in Australia and then around the world, London, New York. It is, it's not just a mega church. It is a multinational church. It is a global church. And he's talking there about, well, I guess he's speaking frankly about how you kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't when it comes to the issue of homosexuality and same-sex marriage if you're the pastor of Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia, because you're going to lose somebody, maybe even everybody. Now, look, this is the problem. When relevance is the order of the day, then compromise is also the order of the day. You remain relevant by making compromises. And the seeker-sensitive church has already made a lot of compromises. Are compromises on the basic biblical morality the next thing on the agenda? Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, a weekly series we do with Pastor Chris Rosebrough. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. A little bit later, we're going to be talking, we're actually going to be hearing from some of our guests throughout the week in Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week and your response by way of your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites and then you're going to vote. You're going to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You're going to send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet, @issuesetc, or you'll go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Chris Rosebrough is a regular guest, pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Okay, so the order of the day is relevance, and that has, the track record has proven to be one of theological compromise, largely with the mores and the kind of sensibilities of the culture. Will the seeker-sensitive church be forced, if it stays with its agenda of relevance, to compromise on basic biblical morality?
Yes, it will, and there's a real good reason for this, and that is that the churches that are seeking to be relevant, you know, those pastors who are purposely trying to influence culture or using culture to kind of be the hook to get people into their churches, they know that there are just certain doctrines, there's certain teachings that Scripture has that are going to rankle and rile and get upset the rank and file pagan unbeliever. And so what happens is that they kind of compartmentalize in order to make Christianity attractional to people. And what they do is that although they may personally hold to biblical values, biblical morals, and believe certain things are sins, and privately they'll discuss these things with you, publicly they're not preaching and proclaiming that. And so what happens is that the rank and file person sitting in the comfy theater seat with the cup holder for their latte they're being discipled into a Christianity that may not be the Christianity that the vision casting leader himself holds to, and because they're not getting the whole message, they're not getting the whole counsel of the Word of God, it's just a matter of time before the rank and file people coming up under that kind of preaching, they aren't holding to sound biblical Christianity and what Christianity teaches on the thorny issues because they've never been taught it. And so it's just a matter of time before, you know, as people turn over, as people age and move on and stuff like that, that the people coming up are going to fill their spots, and those churches in the next generation will fully compromise because the pastors who may have privately held, you know, Christian values and morals and things like that, they aren't actually preaching it and teaching it and not discipling those underneath them to believe and hold these things sacred and true.
Well, this is just basic biblical stuff. Christ commands his apostles in the first instance to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. Have vision-casting, seeker-sensitive church leaders and their congregations, have they forgotten the first part of that?
Yeah, they have. And funny enough, if you talk with them privately, they'll get a little bent out of shape if you point out the fact that Jesus told the disciples to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins, which requires us to preach law and gospel. And they know that, they know this from their own experience with the law, that when you preach the law, it's going to make people uncomfortable. It's going to make them feel like they're sinners. And the reason for that is simple, is because the primary function of the law is to expose our sin, unbelief, convict us of our sin, and to make us feel like sinners. And that is how we are then prepared to hear the good news of Christ and him crucified for our sins. But the vision casting leaders, they know that if you preach the law with all of its sternness, they're not going to be able to draw a large crowd. And so they're trying to, in their methods, you know, find ways to shave off and not talk about those difficult issues so that they can, you know, kind of keep people engaged. And they often talk about that as, well, we're having a conversation with them. We're not making statements. That'd be kind of the way they talk about it.
What are we going to be hearing here in this first cut, I believe, from Hillsong Church?
Well, let me give you a little bit of the context. This past week, Hillsong ended up having to make a statement to clarify their position regarding homosexuality and whether or not somebody who is a practicing impenitent homosexual can actually be in a position of leadership at Hillsong. And the reason for this is that a story broke last week regarding a gay couple, that actually a pretty famous gay couple named Josh Canfield and Reed Kelly. They were in last year's, the last fall's Survivor program, the Survivor San Juan del Sur. And a story surfaced from a Hollywood internet site, basically, you know, talking to Canfield and Kelly, and they self-describe themselves as devoted Christians and say that they attend Hillsong Church in New York City, and that Canfield, one of the members of this gay couple, that he was a volunteer choir director at Hillsong New York City, which puts him into a volunteer position of leadership. Well, that story kind of went viral, and Hillsong ended up having to make a public statement regarding what their position is on homosexuality, but they were extremely careful in how they crafted their sentences in order to not offend anybody. But what we're going to be listening to are statements by Carl Lentz. The first one and the second cut are statements made by Carl Lentz in the mainstream media. The first one is on Katie Couric's program, and then the second we'll listen to is from CNN. About the same time that these gentlemen were, a part of the choir at Hillsong New York City, he was making statements that were extremely vague and evasive regarding homosexuality and same-sex marriage. So that's what we're going to be listening to.
And how do you feel about sort of the tolerance issue that I was talking to Joel about? I mean, do you guys have positions on, say, gay marriage and things like that?
We have a stance on love, and everything else we have conversations.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
Exactly that. Often people want you to make these big statements about things, and I don't believe it's fair. I don't think a public forum is always the best place to talk about something that's so sensitive and important to so many, because a public forum, there's no discussion there, and everybody's situation is unique. So I've been with some people who are, make a statement about this, and I'll say, why? I'd rather have a conversation with that person, because if I make a statement publicly, there's no discussion, there's no explanation, there's just this comment, and we want
to... Just to play devil's advocate, I mean, do you feel like...
That's hard for you because you're so sweet.
but do you feel like, you know, there you have a moral imperative to speak publicly about some of these more controversial issues?
No, because we try to be like Jesus. Very rarely did Jesus ever talk about morality or social issues. He was about the deeper things of the heart. And often people want to talk about behavior modification. Our church isn't about that. You can get behavior modification doing yoga or going to a karaoke thing. You can change a little bit about you. We're about soul transformation. So you start talking about some of the symptomatic stuff, that's not what we're about. We're about talking to people about their heart and their condition of their soul. And some of that stuff outworks itself, but we're not trying to change anybody because we can't.
All right. Is Carl Lentz correct there, Chris, that Jesus didn't talk morality?
No, that's absolutely patently false. In fact, Scripture reveals quite explicitly that Jesus was a preacher of repentance. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, which we've been working our way through during the three-year lectionary in our congregation, it makes it very clear that from the time of John the Baptist's arrest that Jesus went and proclaimed repentance. In fact, he taught the disciples to preach repentance, and that's going to require you to actually preach about morality and God's law. But the other thing that really falls short on this is that there's a lot of things that are not recorded in the Gospels. The Gospel of John, John makes a point about saying that, you know, that if we had recorded everything that Jesus did, that there probably wouldn't be enough room in all of the books in the world to kind of record it. And so, you know, we're getting, you know, the highlights a lot of what Jesus' teaching is and was about. But the other thing is that Jesus is God in human flesh. And so, since all Scripture is God-breathed, and Scripture is explicit about the fact that homosexuality, as well as adultery and other types of sexual immorality, that they are sins, and that this causes a person to fall short and reveals the fact that they are not righteous. And in fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 makes a point of saying in verse 9, he says, "Don't be deceived." And he says, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, they will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, but such were some of you. So here's the idea, is that all Scripture being God-breathed, all Scripture being inspired, you can literally say that every passage of Scripture are the words of Jesus, because he is none other than God in human flesh. So there's a major problem that's going on here, and that is that he's basically coming up with clever, and I mean this, just clever arguments to try to exempt him from having to do what every pastor is called to do, and that is to preach the word. And you can find a clear command for this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says to young Pastor Timothy, I charge you, by Christ and his soon returning, to preach the word in season and out of season, which would require you in a public place that, you would say is a church, which technically would then make it, the house of God, that the job of a pastor is to proclaim the full counsel of the word of God and publicly preach God's law, which would then require him to talk about all kinds of sins, including sexual sins, sins of the heart, sins that have to do with theft, and sins that have to do with how we use our tongue and speak about neighbor, and sins that have to do with our relationship with God and idolatry and things like this, and then to placard Christ and him crucified for our sins as the solution to our sinful problem and the only source of the righteousness that we can receive so that we can inherit the kingdom of God, because the unrighteous don't, but the righteous do. But you're not made righteous by your law-keeping. The law only shows you that you are unrighteous.
All right. You said there was a different context for Carl Lentz's next statement. Who's he talking to here before we listen to it?
This is an interview with CNN. This is an interview that they did with CNN where they're kind of covering Hillsong Church, and CNN tried to take a crack at, figuring out, where Carl stood on issues such as, social issues, controversial social issues, as well as homosexuality.
We wanted to know where Lentz falls on social issues and politics.
My thing is that Jesus transcends politics. So whether I'm right-wing, left-wing, Democrat, Republican...
Are you going to tell us?
No, that wouldn't be any fun. Some Christians say you can't even be a Democrat
and even follow Jesus. That really bugs me.
Some of his positions are clearer than others. Don't get drunk, no sex before marriage.
Are gay men and women welcome in the church?
Absolutely. We have a lot of gay men and women in our church, and I pray we always do.
It's not our place to tell anyone how they should live. That's their journey.
Every article I've read about you guys says he declined to discuss gay marriage.
Yeah, it's a misquote because I do discuss it, just not the way people want me to. When it comes to homosexuality, I refuse to let another human being or immediate moment dictate how we approach it. Jesus was in the thick of an era where homosexuality, just like it is today, was wildly prevalent. And I'm still waiting for someone to show me the quote where Jesus addressed it on the record in front of people. You won't find it because he never did.
Yeah, okay, so I think I understand what he's saying here, okay? And it goes back to being like Jesus, Chris. In other words, I don't have to talk about it because Jesus never did, at least what's recorded in the New Testament gospel. So, you know, quit asking me.
Yeah, that's you know, Jesus never talked about bestiality and pedophiles either. Are we to then keep silent regarding these things? It would be my retort back. The answer is absolutely not. Jesus himself did actually speak explicitly that about marriage and made it very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman, and this was established all the way back in the creation when God created Adam and Eve. And by talking about marriage in that sense, Jesus is affirming what the Old Testament says regarding the fact that God is the one who created it, the institution of marriage, and that he made it for a man and a woman in a lifelong relationship, but then any sex outside of that context is considered sin and needs to be repented of and forgiven. But Carl is basically, you know, trying to take kind of a pious high ground, if you would, to find a way to exempt himself from having to speak clearly on these issues in his church and to the media, because Carl's big concern is growing the Hillsong empire and getting as many people as possible to attend their many multi-sites around the globe. And he knows that if he were to preach God's law clearly and makes and just like read out the biblical text as far as homosexual sins, that would end up, you know, potentially alienating many of the people that he's supposedly trying to reach, which kind of begs the question. If he's not preaching law and gospel, sin and grace, and calling people to repent and to be forgiven by Christ's vicarious death on the cross for them, is what Hillsong's doing in their evangelism, is it even making Christian disciples? Because, you know, as Lutherans, we understand that repentance kind of consists of two parts. First, the first part of that is contrition and sorrow for your sin, which is the work of the law. And the second part of repentance, then, is faith in Christ, even amidst those terrors, that trusting in the promises of the forgiveness and mercy of God through what Christ has done for us. And so where those two parts are missing as far as repentance is concerned, you have to ask the question, are the people who are attending Hillsong being brought to penitent faith? Are they experiencing the terrors of the law? Do they understand what God's law demands and how they fall short? And are they trusting only in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and their right standing before God? If not, then we have the right to kind of ask the question, are the people who are attending there who claim to be coming to faith in Christ, are they even being brought to faith in Christ? I think it's a valid question.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, we'll continue our series with him on This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about homosexual issues surrounding Hillsong Church. I'm curious about this. We are not in the business of telling anybody how to live. That's their journey line. We'll get Chris's response after this. Why do the gospel accounts differ? Why did Jesus use parables? Are there demon-possessed people today? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the big book of New Testament questions and answers. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers is written by Dr. Michael Eschelbach of Concordia University, Chicago. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Pictures change how people feel about abortion. Facts and arguments change how they think, and both are vital for changing behavior.
Where do we find Jesus, and how do we get in touch with him? And the contention of the scriptures is that Jesus comes to us by means of that word which is preached and the sacraments which we receive.
The Democratic Party watching out for the corporate interests of the abortion industry, we don't protect any other corporation as a party, so this should be no different.
For God so loved the world is not the gospel. Because he loves everybody, even the people that will go to hell, God still loves.
We'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 15 minutes here. That's a taste of the four soundbites we'll play for you. We'll play them for you, and then you're going to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC, or you can go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Hillsong Church and homosexual behavior. Chris, before we hear the next actuality that you brought for us, I heard in that last one, I'm assuming that that's Carl Lent's wife or ministry partner or something like that, a female voice saying, you know, we're not really here to tell people how to live. That's their journey. What does that mean?
Yeah, that was his wife speaking. And basically, they are of the opinion that, you know, telling somebody how to live, like by saying God says that behavior is a sin, you need to repent, be forgiven, and bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Apparently, they believe that's not their job. But if you remember just a few seconds before that, the lady from CNN noted the fact that that they're very open about the fact that they don't want the people in their church to be sleeping together before they get married, and drunk, you know, getting drunk is absolutely forbidden too. So it's clear that they're being inconsistent as far as non-controversial sins that don't rise to the level of political social issue. They have no problem telling people how to live and don't play this journey card. But when it comes to thorny issues like homosexuality and same-sex marriage, well, we don't want to tell them how. That's not our job. That they're on a journey, so that's their journey to kind of sort out and work out between them and God is what they're talking about. And what I find fascinating is that there's parallels to this approach that we can go back to 10 years ago when the emergent church was still the hot thing. And the emergent church guys, Tony Jones and Brian McLaren, were talking almost identically to this, basically saying that, it's all about having a conversation and people feeling safe to engage the biblical text in conversation and community, and this is between them and God as they experience God's word in community. That's how they would talk, and so I find fascinating that on this issue, Carl Lentz sounds exactly like, and his wife sounds exactly like, the emergent guys, Tony Jones and Brian McLaren and Doug Padgett of 10 years ago.
The next we're going to hear from is from Brian Houston himself, the senior pastor at Hillsong Church. What should we be listening for?
Yeah, what we're going to be listening to is just a soundbite from an interview he did with a Sydney radio station, Hope 103.2. And the lady there asked him straight up about homosexuality. One of the things you will hear near the end of the bite is Brian Houston stating clearly that homosexuality is a sin. But leading up to that, listen carefully to what it is that the struggle is for him and why he is so not excited about having to speak clearly and make biblical proclamations publicly about homosexuality.
I want to ask a couple of questions about the church and its position in society. You're aiming to lead a church that influences the culture, but also is culturally relevant and sensitive.
Yes.
So, and in Australia, we're now dealing with the issue of same-sex marriage, which is looking like it might be inevitable. How do you address issues like that as the leader of a church, and how should Christians deal with that?
I think it's very vexing and very challenging. The moment you get asked the question on secular media in particular, what do you think about homosexuality or what do you think about gay marriage, you're going to lose people. You're either going to lose people on the one side or you're going to lose your constituency on the other side. And if you say nothing, you lose everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those questions where there's just no great answer. I feel very much, I've described it like this, you know, there's the word we live by. There's the world we live in, and there's the weight we live with. And the world we live in is obviously changing all the time. And as you said, gay marriage is perhaps, you know, looking like it even may be inevitable. I mean, it's already legal in New Zealand and England and 31 states of America and many other places in the world. And I feel like, by the way, as Christians and as the Christian church, we can keep operating and keep living. I think the biggest challenge is if it was tried to inflict on churches, what they do or don't have to do in terms of marrying people. But so there's the world we live in, which is changing. There's the weight we live with, which is the human toll, real people. People grow up in churches like ours and every other church in Australia struggling with their sexuality, whether we like it or not. And sadly, sometimes they've spoken to a youth leader perhaps or even to their own parents and felt this incredible rejection and either spend the rest of their life hating God and hating the church, or even sadly, even more tragic than that, become suicidal because they feel hopeless. They're in a world that doesn't accept who they believe they are. So I very much feel the weight, the human weight of it. And of course, then there's the word we live by, and I think the word's very clear that homosexuality is a sin. So yeah, I don't find it easy. I find it sad that you've got to try and, you know, basically write a whole lot of people off through one media statement.
All right. What did he end up saying in answer to the question?
He never really quite said anything. You know, he's just talking about the internal struggle that he's experiencing because he doesn't want to lose anybody. And so this is, you know, I think what has happened is that Hillsong Church, which recently was reported that between their different multi-sites, the church alone is pulling in $100 million a year, that, you know, he's got this huge, you know, multi-million dollar media and church empire to protect, and making clear statements on this is going to it's going to end up alienating one group or another, and so he knows he's got to kind of say something, but he doesn't want to say anything that's going to alienate people. And what I found fascinating at the end there, he affirmed that it was a sin. But see, the thing is that it's a sin that Christ has bled and died for. So it makes me wonder if Houston really understands the correct connection and difference between law and gospel. Because the Christian message is not merely that that homosexuality is a sin, just like other sins. Instead, it's a sin that Christ has bled and died for, and that there is hope for people who have fallen into these temptations and who have who wrestle with these sins, and that is the hope of Christ's mercy and forgiveness, and the power through our baptism, through the sacrament, through the preached word, to mortify our sinful flesh and bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So it's fascinating to me that any Christian pastor would be talking about, you know, homosexuality as if by speaking what Scripture says about it that it would leave somebody hopeless, when in reality is that when a pastor preaches law and gospel, it not only gives people hope, it gives people the strength through the power of the Spirit in the Word to resist the temptations of the devil and say no. So, I mean, there's more to this, and it just doesn't seem to be on his radar. His primary focus is on trying to figure out a way to say as little as possible, as while saying enough to kind of quiet both camps so that he doesn't have to alienate anybody.
With only about 30 seconds, 5 years from now, will Hillsong affirm homosexuality?
I think that's a little too quickly. I would say 10 years from now, they're going to have somebody openly gay on staff, and 15 years from now, you know, they'll totally be 100% gay affirming.
What's on the docket tonight for Fighting for the Faith?
We're going to be listening to a sermon by Martin Lloyd-Jones that was preached a long time ago, like late 40s, early 50s. It sounds like it could have been preached today, and he's going to be exegeting his way through 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the passage that talks about don't be deceived, you know that no one who is unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God, and this talks about sexual immorality and homosexuality, and the sermon could have been preached yesterday. It's that relevant. It's fascinating to listen to.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristianradio.com. Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's going to be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We're going to play that game that we usually play with our listeners at the end of the week. We got four soundbites. We'll play them for you. And all you got to do is listen, and then you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for soundbite of the week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week is next. When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled, "All Things to All Men." You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen.